Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church for all of you out there on internet land. For we are at a place where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know and we hold dear to this truth that Jesus Christ, while he was here, gave us three commands. And those three commands sum up the entirety of the scriptures. That we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that, we have given our lives to the Lord and Savior who has brought us from darkness into light, that we may be a light in the world. For we know the true light of the world is Jesus Christ, who is the Word, the very Word, spoken from the beginning to the very end of all time. Can I get an amen, church? And today, in this Christmastide message, as we have ended Advent and we are now in Christmastide and getting ready to look at a new year, I want us to continue on in the mantra that we came through Advent. And we are looking at this sermon that I've entitled, The Son of Righteousness Has Risen. Because we know he came as a babe. The light of the world came into the world. But now the Son of Righteousness has risen. And the spelling of that is S-U-N. Because we live in this world where every day comes to us because a star that has been placed out here that is at just the perfect distance from this planet to make life happen here was just miraculously somehow just happened billions of years ago. Please watch my hands, okay? We all know how that happened, right? Yeah, God said, and bang, it was. That's how it works. So we know that the Son of Righteousness speaks of Jesus Christ. It's not that sun that's out there that brings life to the planet, but it is the Son of Righteousness who brings life to us, S-O-N, not S-U-N. But there is a scripture that speaks of just that very particular truth, and it's in one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's the only Italian prophet that has ever been written, and that's Malachi. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Malachi, because that's where we're going to be. We're going to be in the very last chapter of the very last prophet. And I think it's funny because in my study tool that I use, it's called BibleSoft. At the end of chapter 4 in Malachi, it says, the end of the prophets. And it just makes me chuckle when I read that because I don't see that in the Bibles anywhere. That's just the way they have set up the tool that I use. It says, the end of the prophets is Malachi. And I think about that because when Malachi ends, what begins for us as we read our Bible? The New Testament. Because Jesus did not come as a prophet. Amen? Jesus came as the Christ because he is Messiah. He is the Son of God. And Malachi ends this book of the prophets with these words, verses 1 and 2 from chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. When I read these words, when you read these words, Malachi here is speaking of a time yet to come. Because in his day, the Son of Righteousness did not shine. The Son of Righteousness was yet to be revealed. So this is a prophetic utterance to the coming of the Christ child, but it is also a prophetic utterance of to the millennium after the tribulation, which we know we are headed into. We hear the rumblings and we see the signs. And the Lord Jesus said, when you see these things, be very afraid. No, he didn't. He said, when you see these things, look up. For your salvation draweth nigh. So we know that as the body of Christ, we do not fear these things that are happening in our world. In fact, we anticipate them coming. We know this stuff's going to happen. So therefore, we look with gladness into these things because we realize the day is coming when all of the peoples of the world will know, will be without excuse, as never have been before, that Jesus Christ is truly King of kings and Lord of lords. Can I get an amen from the church? You know, I think today I'm preaching to the choir because we all know this. But yet we need to be reminded from the book of Malachi that Jesus came to his own, but they rejected him, and that he then opened the way to all who would believe. That's you and I, because we aren't Jewish. Many of us here aren't Jewish. Now, some of us have no idea whether we're Jews or not, because we have lost those lineages so far back that we have no idea what our ancestry really is, because we have become a group of Heinz 57 peoples, okay? You know, how many of you out there know what a Heinz 57 dog is? You know, 57 different varieties made this thing up. Well, we have become so mixed in our past that this is one of the reasons why I just have to laugh when people want to start talking about racism, because there ain't one of us that's a pure race. We are so mixed up, we have no idea where we come from. I can trace my lineage back to the Vikings, but from that point forward, we have mixed in everything and anything that happened to be around. And so have all of you. So we need to understand that here in this time, Malachi is not talking about racial separation. God here is talking to us through Malachi about a spiritual separation of those who are absent from God and those who are with God. Can I get an amen? There's only two. Did you notice that? There's only two forms of people in this reading: the evildoer and those who have feared his name. And on those who have feared his name, the Son of Righteousness is going to shine. How many of you have had the Son of Righteousness shine in your life? Amen. It is a very personal and real thing. We are living in the time of grace. We are living in the time of the church. From the time of Christ's birth until now, the Son of Righteousness has been shining. But that Son of Righteousness is going to rise upon all mankind at one point in time, that no man would be without excuse. We need to understand, what is that talking about? That is talking about the coming of Christ when he comes on the clouds, when he begins the millennial reign. Everybody on this planet is going to see him. Everybody on this planet is going to see him and know that Jesus is the Christ. And righteousness will reign and rule for 1,000 years. What's going to happen when Christ comes and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives? What's going to happen? What's that, Brother Wendell? The mountain is going to split, and that is going to be the beginning of the end. All of those who would come against God at that point in time are going to be destroyed. How? By the word of his mouth. He is simply going to speak, and all of the evildoers that are out there in this world will be smote at that moment. And we all need to understand that is exactly what is being talked about here today. That time is coming. So we, the church, have a work to do, because we have been charged with making sure that all of those who would come in, come in. God is asking us to work with him to bring forth the salvation of all mankind, just as he asked his Son before the foundations of the earth to be prepared and made ready to bring that salvation, so too is he now asking you. You see, God is not intrusive. God does not force his will upon you or me. But God asks us. Why? Because he's a loving God. Because he's a God who is full of hope and fairness that goes beyond anything that this world has ever known. Look at all the men who have tried to rule this world. All of them were arrogant and self-filled. Look at our world today. How many of our world leaders portray that very tyranny in a place where we're meant to be a free people? All we have to do is think about what is being spoken here from Malachi and understand that God is preparing each and every one of us. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a what? A furnace. We're talking about God's wrath. God has stored up His wrath from before the time of Christ. Because at the end, and this, again, this is just, it just so amazes me, because like I said, the study tool that I have, it says the end of the prophets. What happened at the end of the prophets? Does anybody know? God was silent for 430 years. God did not speak for 430 years until John the Baptist came. And then all of a sudden, God was speaking again. And He says, behold, I do a new thing. Because the new covenant was being prepared to come in. And we all know it. We all know it. Because it was prophesied to us all the way back before Abraham literally began the process. When he brought out the bread and the wine. When Abraham came before him and gave him a tithe, Jesus Christ was already there. Malachi knew that the bread of life and the cup of salvation was yet to come. How many of us see all these things and understand them? I'll tell you right now, I've been a pastor now for 25 years, and I still have to look into these things. Can we all get an amen on that? Because I don't care how old you are in Jesus Christ, we're still infants. Because we're going to live for eternity. And in that, when we realize that the few years we have given, man, we are but infants yet. There is so much for us to yet learn, so much for us yet to know. But we also need to know that by the grace of God and to His glory, we no longer are walking in darkness, but our eyes are blessed to see. Because the Son of Righteousness has risen within our lives. And we have to help that light get out to the world. Not that we can do anything, but the Holy Spirit will do it through you. Can I get an amen? And in that, may we look to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Just a few pages back from Malachi. Matthew 13. We're going to begin in verse 11. And you all know this wonderful piece of Scripture. Because it's the beginning of something that, you know, many of us, we read this, but we actually, because it's so funny to me. How many of you like Jesus' parables? I love Jesus' parables, okay? Because they stretch my thinking. They stretch my very being, because Jesus said He's going to speak in parables. Why? Because only those who have eyes can see, and only those who have ears can hear. In other words, only those who have the Spirit of God are able to see and able to hear, because the light is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the one who's able to interpret that light, to see that light, to set it in each and every one of us. So here Jesus literally speaks of that setting process. Look to me, or look to the Word with me from verse 11 in Matthew chapter 13. To you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Brothers and sisters, what is he speaking of? All of the prophets, do you realize everything that the prophets spoke is coming to a fruition right now in front of our very eyes? These things that God spoke to them that they were to reveal to us are now coming true. And when we understand what is being spoken of here, that through the Holy Spirit you are seeing and hearing things that they long to see, they could only prophesy about them as the Word of God was given to them. They couldn't understand how this stuff would be. But we not only understand it, we see it and we perceive it. How many of us can see things getting worse in 2024? I just spoke today. While I was away, you all know, and for those of you who are out there, I think I even spoke it to you, Pastor goes away between Christmas and New Year's. That's my time of just getting my brain back together, ending a year, and getting ready to prepare for a new year. And I got away, and while I was away, guess what God had me do? It rained for 2 days, by the way, which wasn't a bad thing. Don't hear that as a bad thing. Because during those 2 days, God allowed me quiet time. Guess what he had me doing? Praying for all of you. Praying for the church. Remembering all the things that you have been through in 2023. And I'm talking that on a very personal level. Because he brought to my remembrance the struggles, the places where I interacted with you, and the different things that we came through and are yet coming through, because it's not done yet, is it? It's not like it's over. You know, the year ends and it's a new year. We have that big thing drop, you know, and everybody gives kisses and drinks some wine or whatever they're going to do, and it all washes away, right? No, it washes right into the next year. There's only one thing that washes something away completely and totally, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because it's only in him we get a new beginning. It is only in the Son of Righteousness that we begin to rise up and see and understand and know the goodness of God. And as the scripture here tells us, that we can now see and perceive. We can hear and understand. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit who is working in each and every one of us. As we yield ourselves to him, so too does he bring to us the very realities of God. You are living as the prophets lived of old. They heard for a time. You are hearing every day of your life. They saw for a moment. You are seeing the very realities that they were speaking into. You are far more blessed than the prophets of old. How many of you think of yourself in such terms? How many of you out there on internet land realize that you are blessed, called of God, to be a holy priesthood, speaking the truths of God's word into this world? That's who we are. That's who we're meant to be. And that's where we're headed in 2024. Pastor's making that declaration today before it begins. This year, as of this moment in my life, is gone. What lies before me is the future, the kingdom, the eternality of Jesus Christ. And in that, I pledge to walk. In that Son of Righteousness that has risen upon me, that has risen upon us, I will walk. In the fullness of day, in the fullness of light, hearing from the word of the Lord, and understanding, seeing with new eyes that as Christ has come, so too the old must go. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, may we receive the freedom therein. The past has nothing on you any longer. Would you let it go? Can I get an amen? Because that's how Satan tries to get us tripped up. If he can make you hold on to something, he's got you. But in Christ Jesus, when we let it go, he's got us. And we are covered in the blood. And in that, we will understand. We may not know all things. How many of you know why you go through the turmoils that you go through? Well, how about if your pastor tells you? You're going through them because God wants to transform you. It's that simple. You see, we're temporal beings, and we are learning to be eternal beings. How many of you know what it's like to take a teenager or take a child, how about take an infant, and turn it into a toddler, then from a toddler into a pre-adolescence, and then from a pre-adolescence into an adult? That's a whole bunch of work, isn't it? And it takes a whole lot of know-how. How many of you are prepared to do that work? How many of you were prepared to go through that work as you were going through it? Well, I tell you, we are going through the same work now, but on a much greater scale, because it's not a temporal scale. We are being brought into eternity now while we are yet temporal. We're being worked on by God if we will work with Him, if we will allow Him to bring us to that place of understanding and give us this blessed hope that we would see God, know God, and be revered by Him. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, just two very simple verses. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And we're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20. Because this is a reality, and this is what I'm talking about. We are no longer temporal beings. We are eternal beings. We need to remember, we are spiritual beings because we have been transformed. That Son of Righteousness that has risen upon us. Okay, I got to go back. I got to teach here for just a second. When we are in this world, the sun, S-U-N, that is out there behind the clouds right now here in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, brings warmth to our world, brings light to our world, which creates photosynthesis, which is the beginnings of the building blocks of life in our world. So too, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, shined upon us. And now we have begun the building blocks of building unto eternal life. Do you understand the parallels that God is giving us here? Just as the sun brings light, which brings warmth and brings life, so too the Word of God, who is Jesus the Christ, from the very beginning, the very first word of the Bible is what? Beginning. What is the first letter of the Bible? Bet. What is bet? It is a picture. Picture of what? It's a picture of a mouth with a seed coming out. That's the very word. The Word of life, that's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. When we understand how God has put this all together, when we understand, then we will know. Isaiah 60, 19 and 20. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor the brightness will the moon give your light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light. And your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. There is no more mourning for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. All we have is the fullness of day. There is no more night for those who are in Christ Jesus. All we have is the fullness of day. I want you to think about something. Last week I taught you that there are seven periods of creation, 7 days. And at the end of every day was what? Night. Because the Jewish day begins at sundown. Okay? Begins with night. Well, we who are in Christ Jesus, guess what? There's no more night. All we are is everlasting day. Because the light of Christ has shone in our lives. And no matter what happens in this world, it's never night anymore. Because we know who to take it to. We know who controls it. We know who's behind it all. And everything that happens in our lives, I was going to wear my Romans 8 and 28 shirt, and we know that to those who love Him, God worketh what? All things to good. And that is a truth, dear brothers and sisters. For we are no longer coming into night. We are ever present in the day, everlasting in the day. The Lord is our sun. The Lord is our moon. It is no longer night in our lives spiritually. Do we still have night and day? Yes, because the world goes around and we have this physical thing that has to happen to keep life going here on this planet. But God is speaking to you and I very plainly in a very spiritual and real manner that we no longer have those times of night where the evil one can knock us down. We have these times of trial. We have these times of testing. But in them, may we remember that God is for us and not against us. God is here to bring us the hope of all eternity. And as we give ourselves to Him, so too the light of righteousness shines from us. Because the world sees us going through these times of trial and trouble and succeeding at every step of the way, smiling the whole time, while yet our body is being destroyed, yet we are made new every morning. Can I get an amen? I told our elderly ladies here the other week, didn't I, Miss Teresa? There's a reason you're still here past the years that God has given us. Miss Kathleen has said to me so many times, I'm 94, I don't know why I'm still here. And I told her, I said, God revealed this to me, and this is just so amazing. And He did it through another pastor, because the same thing was going on for him. And he said, all of a sudden he realized, these people who've lived past 84, why are they still here? 84 if by reason. And you know, some of these folks get 101, 100. I think the oldest person that I know of being alive was like 111, okay? And so it's like, wow, how did they get that long? Because the Scripture tells us that we are being renewed every morning. We are being renewed every morning. Though this body is falling apart, the Spirit of God is renewing us every day, and we have clung to it so much that the years don't matter anymore. And we are renewed every day. How many of you know people that are over 90 and they are still sharp in their minds? Can I get an amen from the church? Because I'm going to tell you right now, every one of those people I know knows Jesus. Because they have been renewed every morning, and they have relied upon that. We get old, we get tired, and we get to the point where we're ready to give up and say, Lord, just take me home. And I think about these dear old saints that are out there, and they get up every morning and say, well, here comes another one. And they go. Man, do I pray I'm one of them. You know, I've asked the Lord to let me live till I'm 120, but I don't know that I want that anymore. Because if I'm 120, that means I'm going into the tribulation and even beyond it, and I don't want to be there. Lord God, take me home. You know, I believe Calgon like, or I believe Jesus likes Calgon. How many of y'all know what I mean? Calgon, take me away. Yeah, the ladies are smiling. I got men shaking their heads at me. I'm telling you, these kids that grow up today with this TV that we got today, they missed all the good stuff, didn't they? They missed all the good stuff. I mean, the only thing that's out there now is so perverted from our world the way it is. Can you see what I'm talking about? The darkness, it's just there. It's so thick. How many of you, when you walk outside of the church, how many of you folks, when you know, as soon as you leave your house, you feel the darkness? It's there. And it's sticky because it wants to cling to you. But guess what? I say to you, in the light of Jesus Christ, you have the authority to cast it off. Cast it off. It has no part with you. For the light of righteousness, the Son of righteousness has risen. And there can be no darkness any longer. We are no longer children of darkness. We are now, in Christ Jesus, children of light. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. These are scriptures that we all know. It just so amazes me. And as we go into this Christmas tide and remember that you know this year is gone, but we have a hope. And I love the way our year ends. Our year ends in hope because we look to the Savior coming at the end of our year. And that means we're being prepared for a new year to begin. A new year in Christ when all things are new in Him. Amen? What a way to end the year. You know, I used to think, you know, I hated the fact that, you know, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. And we celebrate December 25th. And, you know, how hypocritical is that? But here's the reality. I look at it as this is when the church chose because of what our world does. Okay? And did not Jesus in His parables, and this is one of the reasons I love His parables, did not Jesus in His parables use the very physical things of this world to teach us the spiritual truths of eternity? So God, in His infinite wisdom, used our forefathers in Christ Jesus to set the calendar of the church that yet the physical things of this world lead us to the spiritual things of eternality. So yes, we celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th, which is very close to the winter solstice, where the sun begins to change. The nights begin to get shorter now, and the days begin to get a little bit longer. How many of you have noticed that the days have started getting just a little bit longer? I noticed because the hunting times have changed, and I have a few more minutes to hunt. Okay? Yeah, Marion's laughing. She got it. Yeah, it went over everybody else's head. 7:47. That one crashed and burned, Marion. Oh, well, aren't you glad I'm a preacher and not a comedian? We're still got the jury out on that one in some cases, right? But when we look at Ephesians here, we are no longer children of darkness. We are children of light. Read what it says with me from verse 8 through 20. It says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awaken, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ." Can I get an amen on God's word? Man, as we walk as children of light, we are called to be those who see the truth of what is going on, and we call it out. We call it out. How many of you are seeing the darkness of our world ever clearer now than you've ever seen it before? You know, I was conspiring today to wear a different shirt. Okay? This is one of my new shirts, and I kind of liked it here today because at the end of the year, how many of us are heavy? And we just feel like we just need to take that break. And that's what I did. I went to the mountains with my family. And I sat down and I prayed. And it just so amazed me. And that's why I chose this shirt rather than the other one that I'm going to speak of. But this shirt says that, you know, Satan saw me with my head down and thought he had won. And then he heard me say amen. Yeah, he knew the fight wasn't over. And he also knows who wins. Can I get an amen, church? But the other shirt that I was going to wear was this reality. I need more conspiracy theories because all of mine have come true. All the things, you know, and I think it's funny because even the church ridiculed Pastor for some of the things I've believed, some of the things that I've said. But I dare any one of you to show me one that's not true. And that's not because of me. I am not that smart. That is because of the light that I walk in and the one who I give all my homage to and my life is owed. And His name is Jesus the Christ. And to Him be all the glory, laud, and honor now and forever. And the church says, Because without him, I would be total darkness. But in him, he has allowed me to see. He has illumined my mind, my heart, and my mouth to the truth of what is going on out here in this world. You know, how many of you are sick and tired of being told you live in a democracy? Every Christian hand ought to be in the air. We do not live in a democracy. We have never lived in a democracy in this country. We are a constitutional republic. In a democracy, 59% of the people rule 51% rule 49%. In a constitutional republic, 99% cannot take away the rights of 1%. Do you understand the difference? We are a free peoples. We have declared that every individual has the right to do and be as they see fit. It does not mean that 51% can outrule 49%. It has never meant that. Because democracy always leads to tyranny. Where are we today? How many of our laws are written by one man sitting in the White House? Not our representatives. Am I speaking truth or am I a liar? We all understand what is happening. We see the end coming. We understand that we are told there will be a one world order. How many of us are seeing that come? What's going to be the first thing that goes to a one world order? It's not going to be our governments. It's going to be our money. Our money is going to go to a one world order. And then after the money, then will come the governments. Because the governments are going to begin to tie together. Why do you think the UN exists? Brothers and sisters, we have to see where we are. Yes, the Son of Righteousness has risen. So therefore, be awake. Awaken, O sleeper, and see where you really are. We are on the threshold of that day when the evil one will be revealed. When does he get revealed? When we're gone. Can I get a praise Jesus? Because we won't be here to see it. But we're going to be here during the rumblings, during the pangs of childbearing. Because remember, those pains come before the baby comes. And so too Jesus speaks in parables, and so too the parables of our lives. You know, I think it's kind of funny. When I grew up, my mom used to watch these soap operas. How many of y'all out there know what I'm talking about? Okay. She used to watch Daily General or General Hospital or, you know, whatever they were. I can't even remember them anymore. But it was so amazing because I'm telling you, all that stuff that we watched, it just kind of worked itself out in life. It was like, oh my goodness, here's all these TV shows, and it's the way life is. You know, it was Jerry Springer before Jerry Springer. They were telling us what was going to be happening into our future. That's why it's called television. That's why it's called programming. They were getting us prepared for what was yet to come. Because you see, this is a truth that y'all need to get. Just as God spoke through his prophets of old and told us everything that was coming, guess what? Because God demands it of himself, guess what he demands of evil? Evil has to tell us what it's doing too. And they do. And they use television. They use books. They use movies. Because we all think it's fictitious. How many of those fictitious things that we saw on TV are now here? They're reality. They are the way it is. You know, just this past week, I want you all to think about this. The news, I wasn't even home, okay? I wasn't even home, but I know this because I got home and I was bombarded with it. They're talking about a black swan event coming in 2024. What's that for? That's to get everybody scared. Because a people filled with fear is a people that can be controlled. Can I get an amen? But when we no longer fear darkness, we cannot be controlled. Can I get an amen on that one? Because when we have come to the light, we can see through the darkness and we can laugh in its face. We may not be able to change it or stop it because it's part of God's plan, but we will live through it. Can I get an amen? we will make it to the other side, and that other side is eternity. And that's what I'm talking about right here. We are no longer children of darkness. We are now in Christ Jesus. We are children of light. And in that light of righteousness, we are to grow and bear much fruit unto the eternality of all the world, to the glory of God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I get an amen? We know it to be true. Turn to the book of John. Turn to the book of John. Jesus has portrayed all this stuff. He has given us all this stuff. We need to understand that this stuff is working its way out right now in front of us, around us, and yet through us as we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ and give to Him all the glory. He is going to use us to build the kingdom. He is going to use us to build the future, which is the hope of all mankind. From verse 15, beginning in the first verse, this is Jesus. Chapter 15 in the book of John, Bobby. I'm sorry. Chapter 15 in the book of John. We're in the first verse. We all know this. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have read this, you know this. But may I remind you here today, because again, how many of us need to be reminded of the Word of God? Amen. Every day of my life, I need to be reminded of His goodness, of His purpose, and how we're called into that purpose. For Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, and I also loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of in the Father's name, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another. Today, I want to remind us, this is the second command that Jesus gave us. What was the first? Love God. And what's the third? Go. We need to remember that as we obey His commands, just as Jesus obeyed the commands of the Father, so too will His love be in us and guide us and keep us. But we have to do our best to stay there. How many of you are doing your best and finding it difficult? Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, being a Christian is not an easy thing. Being a Christian is one of the toughest things you're ever going to do, because we have to go against the very nature that is in ourselves, which is that sin nature. That is not the way we were created, but it is the way we have become because we have learned it from generation past. And we are dealing with generational sin in our lives. Okay? How does a bird know to be a bird? Because it has been programmed into that bird. How do we know to be sinners? Because it's been programmed into us. And now God needs to reprogram us to be the righteousness once again. and the Son of Righteousness has risen. And through him we can see the way. The way to him is through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And we have to obey every commandment, and we need to love just as Jesus loved us. Jesus is not asking us to lay down our lives to die on the cross for those, but he is asking us to lay down our lives to our own selfish ambitions, to the things that we would rather have, so that we may be one with those who are around us. That we can live our lives in unity together, knowing that the Holy Spirit guides us into all things. And from that, we become the church, the ecclesia, the gathering. And yes, I'm talking to you folks that are out there, and I know some of you are too far away to gather with us, and I'm glad you gather in this means. But I also encourage you to get hooked into a church that you can locally go to and connect with. And if that's impossible, please stay with us and pray with us. But let us know who you are so that we can include you in our prayers. Can I get an amen, church? Because that's how we connect in the Spirit. I need to know who you are. We want to know who you are. Because together we get through. We don't get through alone. Jesus is the way, and he has called us all unto that way, that we may follow the life, because that life is the truth that brings men unto salvation. Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, the Son of Righteousness has risen. And we live therein. There is no more darkness for us. May we remember that as we enter into 2024. And may we hold fast to know that God loves us so much that no matter what comes, he is going to be right there by our side, not only by our side, but over us, through us, and in us. Can I get an amen? To bring us out the other side to the glory of his name. That no matter what befalls, eternity yet stands before us, and that is eternity in life with Jesus Christ the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me today? Father God, we come before you knowing that the Son of Righteousness has truly risen in our lives. Each and every one of us gives you thanks for the hope that we have at this time of year, knowing, Lord, that this year is gone, the new has come, and now, Lord, may we be that newness once again. May we remember that every day is a new day, that you meet us every morning. But, Lord God, there is no more morning and there is no more evening for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, for you have risen upon us, and it is ever-present day. From the word of Isaiah, it is ever-present day, spiritually, for each and every one of us. And may we hold to that truth both now and forevermore in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus the Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.